What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is, better turn my light on. What is going on, faithful? We are episode 1,109 and still making lots of mistakes. There you go, the 49ers Rush Podcast. So glad to be with you guys today. We are on the verge, so close to the NFL draft. I'm flying out early tomorrow morning to LA for our draft party that we're hosting just outside of Temecula at the Champion Sports Bar in Marietta. Hopefully you guys get to come out. We'll be there days one and day two, which is going to be an absolute blast. Come join the Empire Faithfuls. Man, it's going to be an absolute blast. But today what I wanted to do is kind of bow tie a lot of my final draft talk. Like, tomorrow I'm going to try to go live at the airport, but I'm flying out early, meeting up with some friends in LA from where I used to live there. And so I'm just not sure exactly when I'm going to be able to record. I'm going to try to get an episode out tomorrow, but I would be remiss if I don't get the opportunity tomorrow. There's a lot of things that I just don't want to leave without being said or brought up or discussed. So that's what we're going to do today. I finished my final first round mock draft predictions. My bets, updated all of my prop bets. So those are up on the site. The original post on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. I just added to what was on there. So if you want to go back and just look at those posts, you see all the new bets. And there are quite a few. I put my money where my mouth is. Whether that's good or bad, we'll find out. We've done very well in the draft in the past. We'll see how it goes. It's always kind of a crapshoot. And so, you know, those long shot bets in the draft, I do not mind. Long shot bets in games, I don't like. But the draft, I do like. Because if you hit one or two of those, then you're pretty freaking solid. Like Rome Odunze going number four overall. Like, I think there's a possibility quarterbacks don't go one, two, three. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, hopefully you guys check that out. So we're going to have a lot of fun. So we're going over John Lynch's comments. We're going over some Fred Warner, some Brock Purdy. We have a few more draft meetings got leaked out, which I'm excited to talk about. And yesterday, John Lynch went live. He kind of cut off our show a little bit. I want to finish the second part of that conversation. My big board pairings with where the 49ers are drafted in the third and fourth rounds. Plus, a little bit more insight. Mike Clay put out his positional rankings for the NFL, which I always think is interesting. It's a non-49ers view on where NFL teams stack up. And spoiler alert, guess who has the number one team in the NFL based on positional rankings? That's right, your San Francisco 49ers. But we're going to go position by position and see where a non-biased person sees the biggest weaknesses. It's not going to really match up with what a lot of our draft talk or a lot of the draft wants are. We'll get through that. Want to say what's up to the Countdown crew. What's up, JP? We got Don, Eric, Miguel. Man, people coming in strong today. And if you guys got any questions, this is kind of it. This is going to be your last show tomorrow. I'm hoping to get a show together, but let's treat it like today is the last show for the before the draft. And of course, you know, we are going to be live all of days one, all of day two, right here on YouTube. So if you're used to just listening to the audio platform, you got to go over to YouTube. Type in 49ers Rush. We'll pull up. We'll be live all of day one. We've got a lot of people with us. We'll be live all of day two. I mean, we're bringing the coverage, but you've got to go hit that, you know, alert me bell, because that helps support the show. So please go get that done. Help us out. What's up, Slick? Hey, Boyajan. What's up, my friend? Glad to see you guys here. Eric says, John, I never knew you were a Mavericks fan. Oh, my gosh. Diehard. Love the Mavericks. Dirk is as treasured a human being that exists in this world. I love Luka, but he complains way too much for me to, like, you know, he could never be Dirk. And he's probably better than Dirk. I think he is. But I can't deal with whining. Yeah, that's why, you know, watch that Lakers game last night. I don't want to get too much into basketball. But, like, see LeBron chase down a ref after the game and just, like, whine and complain whenever he gets the most favorable calls in the NBA today. Like, that is just disgusting. One, I hate the Lakers. But LeBron's not my guy. but yeah, let's go Mavs. Hopefully they put up a decent game and not get blown out. Paul, look at Paul, always doing the best for everybody. He says, big sale on residency hats, 50% sale. Hey, make sure you use the code TheWayneBreezy and get $5 off that order as well. Support Wayne, and Paul supports everybody just because he's just the absolute best man there is. Paul, he says, Saturday reading your draft guide, JC. That's a good thing, man. Really appreciate you. If you want the draft guide, sign up any level on the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon page. Scroll down. They're right there. Instant download. You get our war room, 205 players ranked, rounds, write-ups, background, you name it. We got it all right there. Right here. Don't bother. What you know about the barbecue, dude? Don't mess with me now. And here's what's crazy. You know, I grew up in Texas, but I went to grad school in Kansas City. So I have had the wonderful opportunity to experience throughout the majority of my life, wonderful, wonderful barbecue. Now I live in California and I love California. Don't love California barbecue. I'm just being honest. Let's just be real. It's not Kansas City. It's not Texas, but that's okay. Lots of other great things about this place. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs coming in. You guys are awesome. Here we go. Here we go. Now, there are several things to take away from, and I'm already seeing this, so let's just do this. What's up, Jeff? Lynch had a line that makes me believe they're considering interior offensive line instead of offensive tackle. You're right. You are correct. And what's crazy is the 49ers met with zero interior offensive linemen. Zero. But whenever he was asked about kind of the top tier offensive linemen, he was like, yeah, you know, some of those guys we think can play tackle. Some of those guys we think can play inside. We really like versatility, right? He's a big versatility guy. And so, yeah, that was quite interesting. And again, you ask any 49ers fan, they're all going to tell you draft O-line because we have bad taste in our mouth from the last two Super Bowls. And the injury to Brock Purdy, you know, in the NFC Championship wasn't because of the offensive line, that injury to Brock Purdy. But still, we want to protect the quarterback. Now that we have a quarterback, we want to protect him. You know, and I'll jump forward a little bit. Mike Clay went through and did unit rankings for everything. The 49ers had a 2.4 out of 4.0 scale. It was number 14th in the NFL as far as best offensive line. Niners fans see it as the biggest weakness on the team, and you might be right. I'm not disagreeing with that. I don't think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch see it that way. So I'm not here to tell you offensive line isn't an issue. I think that it is. I think center's the biggest issue on the team. I don't think John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan feel that way. I really, really don't. And a lot of it is just their mindset. We got Kyle Shanahan. We got Brock Purdy. We got all these studs. Christian McCaffrey's got to make up for a lot of those weaknesses. But I can guarantee you this, and now I'm kind of talking to myself here, Kyle Shanahan likes Colton McKivitz and Jake Brendel more than you do and more than I do. And it's not even close. The way we see them, you put on your Kyle Shanahan glasses, he loves those two players. He loves them. So what do we do with that? You know, they have the exact same offensive line back as last year, and they didn't draft one offensive lineman last year. Not one. Now, I do think that they will have to draft some O-linemen this year, but your views and Kyle Shanahan's view of this offensive line are not the same. They're not. They're not. I can't stand watching Jake Brendel run block. Pisses me off every game. It's terrible. But Kyle Shanahan doesn't mind. We got Christian McCaffrey. He'll be all right. He was the offensive player of the year. We're returning all five starting offensive linemen. We had the number one offense. Why not just keep doing that? Why not just keep doing that? Whether that's right or wrong, that's where it is. And the one thing I will say that is good about that, you know, if we put the 49ers fan base in charge of drafting at 31, we would vote for whichever offensive tackle is there. That's just what would happen. You know, any draft poll I do, any mock draft I do, OT, 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 OT. And I don't like being pigeonholed into that. And so if we move off that and get a premium player at another position, that's cool. The number 8 or 9 offensive tackle, I don't want to spend a first-round pick on. I'm sorry. Now, maybe they're incredible, but, I don't know. I don't know. And, yeah, you know, I don't want to jump back to this. Lee says, rooting for Kyrie out. You're telling me I hated that damn trade. He's a damn good basketball player, but, yeah, I can't stand it. Not my guy. Not my guy at all. I did not know I was going to say it. I know anytime you bring up LeBron, there is nobody that's just in between. I think he's a top 3 greatest player of all time. The longevity definitely puts him up there, but he's just not my guy. I've never found myself rooting for him. You make fun of Dirk being sick, get the hell out of here, and then he beats you. Ah, come on now. Why are you going to make me do this? I got to piss everybody off. It's Jordan, period. It's Jordan, period. And LeBron, way he's down. There's a big gap, but he's incredible. I still think he's the top 3 best basketball player all time. But the comments, I stepped on a landmine there. I didn't know that. But yeah, playoff basketball was incredible yesterday. Ain't gonna lie. Anyway, so we'll just back off that. Now back to John Lynch. You know, he said yesterday that they had 22 first-round grades, 16 golden helmets, guys, and 173 draftable players. And it's, man, there are some things that I just love about this front office. I love this. I don't know if you saw the Arizona Cardinals. They had their press conference with their coach, Kendall Roy, and their general manager, and they asked them, somebody got that reference, and they asked them, you know, how many first-round grades do you have? And a lot of the GMs are like, oh, we've got 18, we've got 20, 22, 25, whatever. They asked the Arizona guy, he's like, I'm not telling you that. Like, I'm not going to give that information out. But I love the fact that, like, I like transparency. One, the 49ers board's weird as hell anyway. It's just weird. There was some, like, you know, the first 3 rounds, which teams have reached the most versus went with the consensus big board. 49ers were the most reach heavy team, and it was like the last 5 years of the draft, Niners were number 1, not going with consensus big board. And I am okay with that. I am okay with that. I am a person that has Amarius Mims ranked in the 3rd round. Like, no problem with that. I'm a person that has JJ McCarthy ranked late 2nd round. Like, I don't mind not going with consensus group thing. That's cool. And you've earned that right because you have the best roster in the NFL. And a lot of those guys drafted, developed, signed. Deebo, Kittle, Ayuk, Purdy. Like, I mean, you can just go on and on and on and on. Fred Warner, good Lord. Demo, come on. Hufanga, I mean, we can go all day. Juwan Jennings, nonstop. So you've earned some of those rights, but sometimes you can go too far. but, you know, I don't think that you gave up any information by saying you have 22 first-round grades. I got 24. They got 22. If one of those 22 guys isn't there, hopefully they trade back. Hopefully they trade back. But, you know, and it's funny. One of the things that I took away from the presser was I feel like the 49ers are much more likely to trade up. Not necessarily in the first round. I don't think you trade up to like number 22 or whatever. That's too big of a jump. I think 26 would be the ceiling that you would be willing to go to if you had a premium player still there. But I would not do that unless it was one of the tackles that fell personally. But that's just my own personal take. Not necessarily what I think they will do. If you're asking me what John Chapman would do, I'm not trading up unless a tackle falls. We've seen the Niners at 31 before, and they traded up for Brandon Ayuk. Home run. Home run. Adonai Mitchell's there. He's the most Ayuk player. We have an Ayuk. Mom, we have an Ayuk at home. and hopefully it stays that way. You know, I don't want to get too much into the whole Ayuk talk, but...
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 49ers are in full control of that deal. Brandon Ayuk, you know, his brother came out and said he wants to play there. He just wants to get paid. I believe Ayuk wants to be here. He fits so well with this locker room. They love him. And, I mean, it's a perfect fit. Yeah, obviously you want to get more passes or whatever, but he's never complained about that. He has never complained about that. So I think Ayuk should be here long term. I hope they work something out. We'll see. Nothing's going to get worked out contractually before June 1st, but probably not well into training camp, as we've seen with Kittle, Warner, Debo. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on. That's going to continue. But I do feel like we are more likely to trade up. And I felt like more in the second, third, fourth round. You know, you come out with 173 draftable guys. And that's another thing, too, is the 49ers they'll throw players off their big board. Health history in the early rounds, they're not doing that. That's why I'm like Tyler Guyton and Amarius Mims, I just do not see his options. I really, really do not. They at least met with Mims, but Tyler Guyton, somebody that, man, major question marks. They have never met with him. And so you're talking about somebody that hasn't played, has major, major issues off the field injury-wise, and you never even met with them and you didn't even go to the combine? Like, I can't see that. That makes no sense to me. The film, the athleticism matches what the Niners do. The positional value matches. I'm sorry. That makes no sense to me. None. So, like, I, and again, like you're going through it. Some players don't like physicality. You throw them off your board. They got off the field issues. Throw Jermaine Burton. Throw them off your board. Like Tavondre Sweat, one of my guys. Throw them off the board. Throw them off the board. The Niners do that. They changed their entire DNA, drafting DNA, with Reuben Foster and Javon Kinlaw. Changed it dramatically. After Reuben Foster, all right, no more knuckleheads. In the first two rounds, you know, I don't think we've really even taken any knuckleheads, but like since then, like you just stay away from that. We're not touching those guys anymore. Okay. After Kinlaw, that health history. You look at after the Kinlaw draft, that next free agency, the next draft, the next free agency, the next draft. It's all guys who just play a ridiculous amount of football. That's it. And so, yeah, what's the best ability? Durability. The Niners want to remove wild cards. What are those wild cards? Off the field issues, injuries. Now, in today's NFL, these guys are playing 5-6 years in college after the COVID exemption. Injuries are a thing. If you removed every player that had a torn ACL, good Lord. You know, one Trent Baalke would never approve, but you have to have an established after the fact. And so on my board, there's guys like Kieran Armageddon. Might not be on the Niners board. He's a perfect fit, but man, he's got some injury issues. They didn't have him in. I doubt he's on their board. I would love him in the second round. I doubt they have him. So whenever you look at their 173, it's not like they're all first-round grades. 22 are first-round grades. You'll have like 20 second-round grades, basically 20, you know, something throughout. They'll have fifth-round, sixth-round, seventh-round grades. That's just the way it's going to be. And so I really enjoyed John Lynch's press conference. I never enjoy his press conference. He's the most politician word salad dude out there, but just kind. But, man, it was kind of cool. He's relaxed a little bit more than normal. Definitely wasn't licking his lips every freaking 5 seconds. That drove me crazy whenever he used to do that. But he seemed like he's doing all right. And, like, you should be in that position. Why? Because you're returning a freaking solid team, and you've got draft picks to use finally. Finally. Anyway. Man, y'all stuck on that basketball stuff. I didn't know. I would never say anything harmful to Peachy ever. She is one of the best spirits I've ever met. She's incredible. But yeah, screw the Lakers, man. I'll just be really, really honest. I don't even care. right here, JP, my man, he got an early question in. I like this one. He says, John, realistically, do you see Greenlaw playing this year? When do you think he comes back? Ah. Man, I love me some Greenlaw. I really do. I pack it all my stuff and my clothes for the trip, and I'm like, all right, what jerseys do I want to wear? And I saw the Greenlaw jersey, and I was like, oh, I was wearing it during the Super Bowl. I'm not ready for it yet. I'm not ready to wear it yet. It's not fair. I was wearing it when he got injured, and it still hurts. He's my favorite player. Tearing your ACL in February? God, that's a killer, man. You know, best case scenario is kind of that 8 to 9 month mark. And so you're talking about coming back November? Ugh. That hurts. That hurts. That's a best case. He's going to be a pup guy. He's going to be on the pup. Training camp, all that. He's going to be on the pup. Week one. How long? Are you going to be a month without him? 2 months without him? It's huge. Now, I will say this, you know, shout out to Juan Solis, the beast. Fred Warner, linebacker number one in the NFL, was asked about Greenlaw yesterday, and I felt a little bit more optimistic about this. Here's Fred Warner talking about Greenlaw yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I see him every day. You know, that boot on his foot's getting smaller and smaller, you know, day by day. He's working to getting back to on his 2 feet, and, you know, he's as optimistic as he can be, right? I mean, that's such a devastating injury, especially that time of the year, you know, the last game of the season, so... you know, I felt for him, obviously, in the moment that it happened. I felt for him ever since, you know, just checking in with him often. And like I said, he's had the best mindset just about it, and continuing to stay optimistic and knowing that he'll be back stronger than ever.
And so, yeah, I mean, we got to be real, though. Lee, you know, could be out the whole season. That is a strong possibility. Now, you look at the names that you have in the linebacker room. You've built for this. you sign, you know, Devondre Campbell for some money. You got two young guys coming back at D Winters who just played the Will spot all last season. So he's had 1 year doing nothing but playing the Will spot, which is his, so he can compete. You bring back DFF. You've got Jalen Graham. I mean, you've got bodies. You've got Curtis Robinson's back as well. He's had a lot. Like, I'm not too concerned about the linebacker position. And I care for the playoffs. The 49ers are going to be a playoff team. They have the highest odds to make the playoffs again, back-to-back years. Like, they're going to be in the playoffs. This team's too damn good. But, I mean, if you draft a rookie, let's say you spend a top first, second, third round pick on linebacker, are they going to play over DeAndre Campbell? Are they going to play over DFF, who you paid both those guys a lot of money to? I was very shocked to see those two contracts, and I did not like either one of them. I love to see people get paid, but I thought we overpaid both those players considerably. I'm not a DFF fan. He's good at special teams, but I think he is very bad at linebacker. Yeah, playoff Dre. I want him back, Dave. I want him back. What's up, Abba? What's up, my friend? Yeah, he was having such a stellar postseason. Yeah. Yeah. And right here, Eric, you know, who's going to take the spot until he comes back? Winners, or do you think they draft a player? I think it's DeAndre Campbell, and I think it's Winners, and I think they compete. I think they compete. I really, really do. And then I think you've got DFF, and you've got Jalen Graham, and you got Curtis Robinson playing the Sam Mike role. That's how I see this playing out. So, I mean, you're loaded at those spots. You're too deep at all three linebacker spots. Like, you have the bodies, and they've all played in these similar systems. DeAndre Campbell's new, but, you know, it's not a far-reaching system from what they do in Green Bay. A little bit different, but he's a vet. That dude's played for a minute. So, oh, yeah, it was Achilles. Did I say ACL? I'm sorry if I said that. My bad. Yeah, Achilles. I'm sorry. Achilles usually takes, you know, it can't be on the long term, but people have come back earlier. So, yeah, I'm sorry if I misspoke earlier. Apologies. Right here, Winters has a shot to make a name for himself. The biggest issue with Winters isn't playmaking. It's consistency. Go back to the preseason. That dude gave up some gigantic plays. He is not consistently where he needs to be as the backside linebacker, right? What's the Will? You're the weak side, right? M. Mike middle, W. Will weak, S. Sam strong. So the Will backer goes to the weak side formation. Typically, teams like to run to the strong side formation where their run strength is. You are almost always the backside backer at that Will spot. He's overeager. He's too excited. He's a young pup. You got to chill. The backside backer, you slow play, and you got to check that backside A and B gap before you pursue over the top. Dre Greenlaw is one of the best in the NFL at it. You get eager, and you over-pursue. Fred Warner's where he needs to be, so the back cuts back. Excuse me. Nobody's there in that backside A or B gap. Whew. That's home run in today's NFL. You can't do that. And then we paired that with some poor safety play. That was where it was really, really bad. Like, bad safety play plus bad backside linebacker play. And now you're just like, ah. Right here, five players to make up one doesn't sound good. But what are you going to do? Dre Greenlaw is a top eight linebacker in the NFL. Like, you know, look at what Aziz is making. Like, Aziz is not an option. Not an option. That never was an option. We could... Aziz is making more than Dre Greenlaw is. That's just what it is. So, you know, the Niners, they made linebacker. They went and got Eric Kendricks. I would feel so much better about that. He's a better player than anybody we got. But he went to the Cowboys, familiar system, guaranteed starting role. He's going to be the captain of their defense. Whereas if he would have stayed with the Niners, he would have been the number two linebacker until Dre comes back, and then he would have been the number three. Whereas for the Cowboys, guess what? You're the Mike linebacker calling a defense. Like, I get it. Cowboys are not near as good, and they lost, six defensive starters and replaced them with one linebacker. They signed Eric Kendricks, the entire free agency of the Cowboys, Eric Kendricks, and who was the Royce Freeman? Those are the only two guys they signed. That's it. That's it. Right here, Nick. Winners, Campbell, DFF can make me nervous at linebacker combined with the new DC. He's bid here. Defense may be average to start the year. I have less confidence in the defense than I have in a long time. But let's go back to the man who brings you hope at night. It just makes you feel, you know, all right. It's the positivity that only Fred Warner can bring. Here's Fred Warner talking about working with Nick Sorensen.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I love Nick. I love what he brings to the table. And I think he's always been a really smart and valuable asset to what we do on defense ever since he came onto the team. You know, he worked a lot with the linebackers early on and kind of has bounced around with some of the defensive backs. And now he has his opportunity, you know, to lead the defense. And I have full confidence in him. I think the way that his mind works and his ability to teach is exactly what you want. And so I'm really excited to work with him.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He's been here. This is a Kyle handpicked guy that's been in the locker room for several years. That's coached linebackers. If you're a nickel, he's been the nickel coach. The nickel coach is in linebacker meetings half the time and in secondary meeting half the time. So he's got, you know, it's the same coaches. Still got Kucerik, still got Bullock on the back end, still got Holland as your main linebacker. Like, he's been with these dudes. So the continuity is huge, way over what you had with Wilkes, and it's a Shanahan guy. So Shanahan's going to literally tell this dude, you're not blitzing. I'm telling you, that's what he's going to do. There's no all-out blitzes going to happen, period. Steve Spagnuolo would laugh at our defense, but that's okay. It's just different the way they play. Look at this, the Godfather, Nicholas Parra, the man. Appreciate you, brother. Says, what's up, John? You're the best. Ah, right back at you. With the D-line improvements via free agency, and hopefully the draft, does it soften the blow of losing Dre? Here's where Dre Greenlaw's impact is versus the run, versus the screen game, and versus mobile quarterbacks. That's where he shined. Okay? Stopping the run, screen game, and mobile quarterbacks. So that's where it hurts the most. Now, I do not think that our defensive line got better in any of those three areas, okay? Stopping the run. Armstead, Cleland Farrell, Javon Kinlaw, those were the, outside of Nick Bosa, those were our three best run-stopping D linemen. They're not back, and I'm going to be honest with you. You look at Leonard Floyd, you look at Yetur Gross-Matos, you look at Malik Collins, you look at Jordan Elliott. You are not getting, none of those guys are as good against the run as the guys I just mentioned. They're not. They're not bad players, and I would argue they're better probably versus the pass, but the run is a major, major concern. You lose those run stuffers, and you lose Dre Greenlaw. That is my biggest concern with this team moving forward. It's also a big reason why I'm so big on the 49ers drafting a run-stuffing defensive lineman. I know we all want offensive line, but that's why I look at Darius Robinson and I'm just like, golly, he would make a lot of freaking sense. He would make a lot of freaking sense. The run defense is my biggest concern because the 49ers operate the fewest men in the box in the NFL. We have the most 6 men boxes in the NFL. 4-2-5, that's our standard. And we don't even creep down our safeties usually. Like, we don't do that. So, we don't, like, if we look like we're going to blitz, we act like we're blitzing with our two linebackers, Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner. We're not bringing extra guys to the box. We have 6 guys in the box, tops, except for where Hufanga does his Hufanga madness, and then he's coming off an injury, too. You've got to be amazing against the run up front. It's a question mark. Do I think we'll have a bad defense? No. But yeah, we look at, well, last year, what did we finish at? Like fourth? Third? Like, we had a good defense. I know it wasn't as up to standard as usual. And we fired the DC and he got freaking dominated in the playoffs. But man, again, I'll say this. You go watch that Super Bowl first 3 quarters, 49ers defense was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Fourth quarter overtime got tired. It is what it is. And I hate saying that, so I apologize about that. Now, let's go to, I want to talk about my mock draft that I did. This is a first round mock draft. I'll put it up on the screen here and block my beautiful face. I went through, I had 4 first round trades, so I went 1 through 32. And it was fun, you know, it was a lot of fun. Now, when the Niners got on the board at 31, all the tackles were gone, including Amarius Mims. Here, I'll just run through the second half, starting at pick 20, Adonai Mitchell to the Steelers. I had Brock Bowers falling all the way to the Dolphins, Mims to the Packers, who traded up for him. Ravens traded up for J.C. Latham. Jackson Powers Johnson to the Cowboys, Nate Wiggins to the Eagles, who traded back, Graham Barton to the Bucks, Chop Robinson to the Cardinals, 28, Brian Thomas to the Bills, Kool-Aid McKinstry, 29, and then Michael Penix Jr. to the Vikings in a trade back situation. And so the 49ers were on the clock. I had us trading out. I had the Chargers trading up for Troy Franklin and Ladd McConkey going 32 overall. So I had the 49ers trading out. I didn't like where we were. You know, if I was forced to stay there, I love Zach Frazier. I can't see Kyle Shanahan spending a first-round pick on that. I wish he would. Ladd McConkey's a damn good player. Wouldn't mind it. Darius Robinson, legit fit. Offensive tackle Kingsley Suabatia was there. Those were kind of the players that were available at 31. And I'm just sitting there the whole time, and I'm just like, man, trading back just makes the most sense. And so I dropped back not far with the Chargers to pick 37, right? So pick 31 was 600 points. 37 is 530. So we got an additional fourth rounder, the 110 overall. So we got their second and fourth. And I know you're listening to this like, man, why would you trade back? We don't need more picks. Well, I'm a firm believer. I said this earlier. I think we're going to be trading up in that third and fourth round, maybe even the second round. So you trade back to jump up. The 49ers have done this. You fall back a spot for Javon Kinlaw. You jump up and get Brandon Ayuk in the same round. Like, I could see that happening in the second round here. Drop back to trade up. I would love that. So you pick up the 37 and 110. And then you can use that 110 to jump from 63 all the way up to 56. You see what I'm saying? That's what I would want to do. And you're getting the same player at 31 at 37. There's no difference for me. I fell back, and at 37, I took Darius Robinson. I'm not going to jump off that take now. I think it just makes too much sense. You look at that kind of 37 range. He's my 44th player. This was much more of what I think the Niners will do than what I would do. I would have stood put at 31 and taken Zach Frazier. That's what I want. That's what I would do. I think that's the biggest weakness on the team. But Shanahan can make up for a lot of that. And again, what's my biggest concern? Thank you, Nicholas Parra. The run defense. That is what I think the 49ers are scared of. You get somebody like a Darius Robinson. It's not sexy, and I know a lot of you guys probably just turned off the podcast, but, man, you trade back and get that, and then you trade up into the back end of the second round. Ooh, that is fun, fun, fun. I like it, man. And again, there's a little bit of overlap between what I think they will do and what they should do. Oh, I like Rake Straw Jr. You don't got to talk to me. I love that dude. I feel like Rake Straw Jr. might be the most physical outside corner in the class. 49ers love that. And it's weird, too, because he's small. He's 180 pounds. Like, he's on the small side. And a lot of it, too, is the Missouri whites, whenever you're watching their uniforms, like, it makes them look small. Like, they have, like, some of the most slender-looking uniforms. That's what I need to be wearing. They don't make players look too big. The Missouri Blacks, too. Like, shoot, you talk about – we're talking about two Missouri guys. Again, golly, man, I hate Missouri, but that's okay. Yeah, I like Ennis Rake Straw. I mean, that dude from where I coached. I don't know him personally. I was gone way before he showed up. But dude's a stud. Physicality, athleticism, playmaking skills, all those things. I love Rake Straw. I think I had a third-round grade on him. He's got some weaknesses in his game. The testing wasn't as good as you were hoping for, but the physicality's there. And I think second round, that is a legitimate option at 63 or trade up in the third. But, yeah, I ain't mad about you. Eric says, which route would John Chapp go? Oh, Frazier. I'm going Frazier. He's my number 25 player on my big board. He's my first second-round grade. I'm taking Zach Frazier. Biggest weakness on this team, I understand center used to be docked because it's such a cheap position. It's not anymore. It is not anymore. Zach Frazier's, he's my number. I got him rated ahead of Grant Barton, who's probably going to go in the 20s. Where did I have Grant Barton going in this craziness? I had Grant Barton go 26. Yeah. I ain't going to lie. His over-under is like 21 on the betting sites. Like, pick 21. So, I don't know. Grant Barton, there's not a team in the NFL that does not like Grant Barton. He is just so freaking clean. All right here, Justin. He says, I think Rake Straw improved. Yeah. I don't put a lot of stock into, you know, the 40s at... Actually, it got worse. So Rake Straw ran a 4.51 at his at the combine. He ran a 4.56 at the pro day. That's not bad, but it's on the back end. Like, he was seen as a small speed corner. That's what you thought he was. The tape doesn't change, but then you see the testing. The 40-yard dash is most important for the cornerback position over any other position. It kind of... 4.55 is like the threshold, and he's at 4.56 for his pro day. I do not consider him a speed type corner. I really, really don't. Now, his shuttle time was 4.38 at his pro day. I mean, he's quick. He's quick, and he is physical. But again, like, man, you look at this. ACL in 2021. Missed four games in 2023 with a groin. I think third round's where he's going to go. I know a lot of people had him as a first-round pick early on in the draft process because his tape's pretty damn fun. And so that's where we go with that. Gold-blooded. What's up, man? If Newton is there along with Barton Powers at 31, which pick would you make? Man, that is spicy right there. I like it. So let me go to my big board. Let's just try to stay true. I got Johnny Newton at 14. I've got Jackson Powers Johnson 20. And then I've got I got a second round grade. Man, I should move him up. Oh. Yeah, I should move him up for sure. He's just so freaking good a player, man. Talking about Grant Barton. And it's just like, gosh, I got him 26. So yeah, I've got all of them high. But I think. You just heard me talk about, what would I do? My highest rated player is Johnny Newton, defensive tackle, Illinois. So, and I've got a first round grade on, but I got a first round grade on Powers Johnson too. I think he is awesome. And so We're talking number 14, Johnny Newton, number 20, Jackson Powers. I'm going Johnny Newton. Even though I'm saying center, I think defensive tackles, I'd take the defensive tackle if I was the 49ers. That's what I would do. I'm not sold. I don't even know if I want to say this. I'm not sold on the defensive tackle we spent all that money on last year. Gravedigger had literally the worst playoffs. It was so bad. Right here, Amarius. That's what's up. He's got the sickle. Go Dogs, baby. I'm a Bulldogs fan. Texas is my go-to, but like my family's from Georgia. My cousin, who I've gone to ridiculous amount of Georgia games with, like I like the Bulldogs a lot. I'm out on Amarius. I'm out on him. Yeah, right here says now you switch up. But that's the thing. Like it's not just this to this, that to that. I got it. My big board is set. And so I've got first round grades on both of them. Johnny Newton, defensive tackle to 20, 14 to 20. I got to go with the big board. I got to. At that, man, I let the scouts vote. Baldy's favorite DT is Johnny Newton. I've got Newton and Murphy back to back. Yeah, they're good, man. Oh, they're good. They're really good. And so anyway, now we had a few more meetings. Let's jump to the Niners had two more official top 30 visits for draftable players. They met with the left guard, but he had like a seventh round grade. I didn't even do film on him, so I don't have much to add to that. So I'm not going to throw in there. But two players that we do know and that I have graded, defensive tackle McKinley Jackson and wide receiver Xavier Leggett. So let's talk defensive tackle McKinley Jackson, Texas A&M guy. But man, I liked him. I hate Texas A&M. I'm revealing my bias early. I like this dude. 6'1", 326. He's thick in the britches. He's not quick. 5'2", 40. That's not great. 22 years old, heart. Like, it's fun watching him play because he's big. He's thick. But man, you see, silent tape talks to you. The more you watch, and I don't even know how many defensive tackles I graded. I think it was pretty close to 20. Let's see here. How many did I grade? 2, 6, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17, 18. I did 18 defensive tackles, right? And so, like, you just keep watching these guys back to back to back to back, and once deficiencies will be another strength, and that kind of pops. This dude, like, here's what's crazy. I have him ranked ahead of Michael Hall Jr. 0% chance McKinley Jackson goes ahead of Michael Hall. 0% chance. But again, all teams' big boards are different. I didn't like Michael Hall's tape. I couldn't stand it. Explosive. Oh, great pass rusher. 2 sacks. no, man. That was not my thing. Not my thing. But McKinley Jackson, you watch him. Nose tackle type, great push. I mean, he is just always on the other side of the offensive line side of the ball. Great motor for a big guy, always in pursuit, always around the ball. That if I had access to GPS tracker data for the defense as a coach, I'm giving an award every single game. Whose GPS tracker is closest to the ball at the end of the play? Add up all the plays, this distance divided by the plays, the lowest number, that's the Chapman Award winner. This dude is a Chapman Award winner, McKinley Jackson. He is always, he's a nose tackle. Like, he'd play the Kinlaw type role for us. But man, tight upper body, lets blockers get into his chest too often. Balance is an issue. He's always on the ground. I hate that. Least favorite trait. Offense or defensive lineman on the ground. Get off the damn ground. Will be a coach's favorite. Leaves a lot to be wanting. Rush of the passer, but you got to get him on the field. Great versus the run. He was Mr. Football in Mississippi. And his story's incredible. Raised by his grandmother. Both of his parents were in prison. And just talk about somebody that's just overcome so freaking like, and it shows, like, you watch the tape of these people and you're just like rooting for them and you're just like, yeah. And then you dive into their background and it's like, oh, football reveals character. This is somebody that's been through hell and back his whole life. And so you put him on a football field, which is a game. It's a game. He's been through a lot more than other people have been through. And so it translates to the field. I'm not listening to announcers, you know, there's no anything. It's silent. And you can see passion and heart. Like, I love this kid. Now, you know, I've got an early fourth round grade on him. Like, it's not like, you know, maybe he goes to the third round. I picked 93. I don't think he's a first or second round pick. But, man, he is just, there's just guys that, I don't know. You see him and you're just like, yes. And McKinley Jackson out of Texas A&M, he's one of them. I got him ahead of Michael Hall. And there's like people say Michael Hall should go in the first round. And I'm like, ooh, not a Chapman guy. Not a Chapman guy. I don't know. But anyway, he's a fun player. McKinley Jackson, I really, really, really like. Defensive tackle. He's fun. He's fun. Now, the other guy that we just had our official right here sounds like a gold helmet guy, David. Possibly. And we only find out the gold helmet guys that we draft. They're 16, right? These are guys that embody the culture and tape and off the field, locker room, clean, right? We only know the guys that we draft. Talanoa, Trey Lance. I'm trying to think of the other. Jair Brown. What's his name? Nick Sakel was close. And again, gold helmet doesn't signify round. It signifies tape, on-field, locker room, character. Like, you know what I mean? You check those four boxes to a T, that's what you are. Just think Talanoa Hufanga, right? That's what it is. And for Trey Lance, and we could go, yeah, I could make an hour-long episode on that. On and off the field, locker room, Trey Lance was him. Like, he handled every single thing with class, start to finish. It just never worked out on the field, and Brock Purdy took his job. Like, that's just what it is. But you didn't miss on the person. You didn't miss on the culture. Trey Lance logged the most time in the playbook back-to-back off seasons, right? Like, you see what I'm saying? That I'm trying to paint a picture of what gold helmet means, not Trey Lance. And you know, John Lynch even said, you know, we're batting pretty good on those gold helmet guys. I think McKivitz was a gold helmet guy. That makes sense. Newt, Trey is a silver helmet guy now. Oh, solid. That was solid. That's good. That's good. That made me happy. All right. Let's talk Xavier Leggett, South Carolina. This is more of the most popular names. South Carolina, where Debo's from. He's mentored by Debo. And a lot of the draft pundits are going to say Debo Samuel. There's not a Debo Samuel. And I've said this in the past. He's way closer to A.J. Brown or D.K. Metcalf. That is his comp. That's what he is. Not Debo. You see the uniform and tackle breaking. This dude's 6'1", 221. He big. He is big. 23 years old. Built like a running back and plays like it. 50-50 balls. Body control adjusts so well to where the ball's in the air. And like there, you can count on one hand how many guys in the NFL are 220 plus with a 40-inch vertical and run a 4.3. Like, you can count on one hand. Those are rare athletes. Rare. Physical blocker. Routes are terrible. Very limited route tree. At worst, a screen and deep ball guy. Built for slant routes, but zero slant routes caught in 2023. That's just crazy to me. Huge baseball player. Batted 311 as his career batting average. Basketball. Averaged 7 points, 5 rebounds. Like, he's an athlete. Played quarterback in senior year of high school. He's just an athlete. But he needs work. Raw, man. You got to manufacture touches. So if you drafted him, second round grades, what I got on Xavier Legette, could go in the first round, but I think second round's where he'll go. And you draft him, and you're the 49ers. He's doing kickoff return. Maybe he's competing with punt return, but we'll see how that goes. I don't like rookies at punt returners ever. And you're rotating him in with Debo whenever Debo takes plays off. He's the new Debo backup. Jet sweeps, screens, slants he's got to work on. I don't know if that's an appropriate use of resources, but yeah, redshirt program. That's what it is. And Oscar, this is what the thing that sets everybody's going to talk about the body of Xavier Legette, and I did too. I don't think that's his best asset. Oscar freaking is the man. Love his catching at the high point. It's what stood out to me. It's his body adjustment when the ball is in the air. That is, again, DK Metcalf. That's who he is. AJ Brown. Not Debo. He's not Debo. He's those guys. But you're betting, can he make that step up from the most simple offensive system for wide receivers, South Carolina, to the most difficult system for wide receivers in the NFL, the 49ers? That scares me. That scares me. You got to put him in controlled situations. You got to. And he'll get some work his rookie year, but you're talking somebody that's playing 20 snaps a game, tops. Unless the 49ers go to a four wide receiver system. You don't get that tight end too. That's a possibility as well. Anyway, that's hopefully that makes sense. Now, if you want to like jump in to all of this stuff that we wrote up on 205 players, this is the place to do it.
The 49ers Rush 2024 NFL Draft Book is here. 205 prospects completely broken down with combine results, film tape review, background, GPA, major, stats, PFF scores, trait ranks, not one but two play style comps for every one, including how they fit on the 49ers and where they will be drafted. Now, if we have it in book format. If you want the raw data and you want to add in your own scouting notes, we have those things as well. So we got PDF, we've got Google Sheets, we've got Google Docs, we've got a war room style big board where you can see all of the players ranked vertically and horizontally based on round. You want to see who can play center. We've denoted that amongst the interior offensive linemen. You want to know which corners can play nickel. We have that as well, all the way down to undrafted free agent status. And if that's not enough, we ranked every single prospect 1 through 205. So you can figure out who the value is when the 49ers select. And we even put together this customizable chart. So if you want to look at, hey, who has the best 49ers fit on a scale of 1 to 10? You can sort it that way. You want to look at who the 49ers have met with. Easy to sort it there as well. Lots of customizable charts that you can create and adapt to however you want them. All you got to do is go to the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel. As soon as you sign up, you get access to all this and more. Hopefully you guys enjoy, and this will increase your 49ers draft experience for this year.
That's what's up. Dave, he came through and he says, you know, what's his GPA? I couldn't find his GPA anywhere, but I did find he's already graduated. He's got his bachelor degree in sports and entertainment management. Somebody wants to be in the business. He's played quarterback, baseball, and basketball at very, very high levels. And he won the Gamecocks Toughness Award winner. So he was that. So talking about Xavier Legette. This dude, he's a 9 out of 10. I got a 9. The only reason why I had a 10 on him is just because the adjustment from routes, going from an oversimplified offense, which somebody's like, well, Debo did it. Yeah, you're correct. Debo did do it. But Debo took 3 years until he was a good route runner. And even then, he can't Super Bowl couldn't do any separation. But like Debo got to the place. And I would have had a Debo at a 9 as well. But Shanahan coached Debo in the Senior Bowl and installed his offense, so that's the difference. Shanahan saw first thing, slant god, slant god, slant god, right? That was his nickname. Legette, zero slant catches. That's where it's a little different for me. So that's where we're at with that. We've got another question here. Oh, is this correct, Oscar? One of our draft researchers, 4.106. Is that Oscar? Oscar don't miss. He does not miss. he says 4.106. I don't know if that's correct. If that's correct, they probably would have broadcast that. I don't know. Let's talk about your next guy. Oscar's the freaking man. Right here. He says, have you done any scouting on Holy Cross, Jalen Coker? I have not. I know who he is. I've done some write up on him. After my draft book, I got a couple questions. Jalen Coker, Holy Cross, 6'1", 208, ran a 4.5. He's kind of a late day three guy. And, you know, I'm going to divert here to the beast, Dane Brugler, who did a hell of a job on him. Sizable jump in competition. That's going to be an issue. Rangy athlete, length body, body coordination, ball tracking. Won't make him feel out of place. Rotational receiver, capable of making an NFL roster as a rookie. Metric, 6'1", 208. You like that. 4.5 speed, no issue. Never did a three cone. Never did a short shuttle. Was not injured. That's always a concern with these 6'1 wide receivers. Shanahan loves three cones. This dude don't have one. But you're talking about somebody that be going in the sixth or seventh round. That's where that would be. Now, let's go through Mike Clay's rankings real quick. You know, 49ers, he ranked every single team 1 through 32 and gave them a grade, kind of like GPA. 4.0 is as high as you can get. Zero is as low as you can get. If you're 16th, you're right at that, you know, 2.0 scale. That's average. Anything above 2 is above average, right? So the 49ers had a 2.9 average across all positions, offensive line, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, quarterbacks, D-line, you know, whatever. We had a 2.9 average, which was the best in the NFL. It was number one. Worst position was safety with a 1.9. It was the only position group that was below league average, and it was number 17. It was the only one. You know, you only got Hufanga, and you've only got Jair Brown. You don't have another safety on this team. I'm sorry. You do not have a playable safety. Plus, you got Hufanga coming off the injury. I kind of agree with this grade. Kind of agree with it. Offensive line was the next lowest with a 2.4 grade, but that's 14th in the NFL. It's above average. I'm telling you guys, you and me see O-line the same. I would use so many resources to give Brock Purdy a great offensive line this year to see before you get that mega contract. The Niners aren't going to do it. They're not going to do it. I'm not saying they're not going to draft O-linemen, but if you think they're drafting offensive linemen in the first and third round, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. I'm really sorry about that. Next up is interior defensive line with a 2.6. My biggest fear of this team is stopping the run game. My biggest fear. Cornerback, 2.8. And that's crazy, whatever you consider. Expiring contracts, Demo, Charvarius Ward, Ambry Thomas, Isaac Yiadom. All gone. Rocky Sin, all gone after this year, unless you extend one of them. Quarterback, 2.9. I know what that was about, Mike Clay. I don't think he's a Brock Purdy believer. Edge, 3.1. Wide receiver, 3.4. Tight end, 3.6. Linebacker, 3.9. Second best. Running back, 4.0. Best in the NFL. Best in the NFL. So just, you know, constantly just trying to find ways to give snapshots into the roster because the 49ers are a needs-based draft team, especially early on. That's just what they are. And that ain't going to change. Not going to change. All right. Right here. What's up? Myzael. Awesome name. Says, I made a show. We're going to kill in the draft and win the Super Bowl. The next three. I'm in. Sign me up, brother. I am totally in. Now, let's go to... I want to talk more about my draft board with where the 49ers pick. On yesterday's show, we did the first and second round, and I talked about how, man, from pick 25 to 55, not much difference. 25 to 55, not that much difference. Really not. That's why, again, in my mock draft, trading back from 31 made the most sense. Trading up from 63 also makes the most sense. I want both those things. I want them both. Now let's jump to our third round pick, number 94. This is, let me just give players that I have on my big board. My number 94 player is Chris Abrams-Drain, the other corner at Missouri opposite Ennis Rakestraw. A little bit smaller, but still fun. Cat-like guy. But listen to these names. I'm going to jump up to number 88. I want to give a handful of players before 94 and after. Roger Rosengarten is my number 88 player. People are talking about could go in the first round. I don't like that. I like him as a player. Pass pro machine. But I think he's kind of confined to the right side only. Not good in the run game. And not dominant. He's a pass pro. He's better than Colton McKivitz. Okay? I'm cool with that. Like, he's an elevated McKivitz player. McKivitz was drafted in the fifth round. I've got a third round grade on him. Mel Kiper's got a first round grade on him. If you're a team that just highlights pass protection, that's where Rosengarten should go. I think second round's probably where he's going to go, but he's my number 88 player. Renardo Green, nickel out of Florida State. Whoo! That's number 89. Love that dude. Kyrie Jackson, Washington, you know, long range corner, fun player. Trey Benson, a lot of people's number one running back, big play machine, just not consistently good tape. You watch highlights. He's got the best highlights of any running back in this draft. Game tape, different story, 91. Cole Bishop, Utah, 92. Cedric Von Prahn, Georgia, go Dogs, 93. Center, fun player. Fun player. If we do not get Zach Frazier, Grant Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, man, in the third round, there are some stud centers, man. Cedric Von Prahn would be perfect fit. He's a fun player. 94, Chris Abrams-Drain talked about. 95, Braylon Trice. I struggled with him. His tape says second round. His metrics say fourth round. I've wound up in the middle. He tested about as poorly as anybody at the combine at any position. He totally killed his draft stock. But good player. Better tape than athlete. 96, Cooper Beebe, center guard, Kansas State. He played left tackle. There's no way he's playing left tackle in the NFL. I got longer arms than he does, but fun player. That's 96. Isaac Guerrero, running back that a lot of people like, Louisville, 97. And Keon Coleman. I was not a Keon Coleman guy. Some people had him in the first round earlier. I was out on him. He's my last third round grade at 98. And then my first fourth round grade is Christian Jones. Offensive tackle, perfect fit. Texas. Like, I mean, he's freaking perfect. So that's the spots at 94. Now let's jump. And, you know, you would get to the fourth round. We got three picks pretty much in a row. You got 124, 132, 135. You got three picks and 11. These are going to be traded. Like, this is where you jump around. I really do believe so. And again, there's 173 draftable grades by the 49ers, but that doesn't mean they're going to be gone in the top 178. This is where they've struggled. I think the third round, that fourth round, that's the struggle bus area for the 49ers. It's my least favorite. Everybody talks about how bad they are in the first and second rounds, but man, they've got home runs peppered throughout there. Nick Bosa was a home run. Brandon Ayuk was a home run. Like, those are two gigantic home runs. Debo was a home run. Aaron Banks, all right, that's a double. You got what you should have got. Yeah, there's misses, but, like, there's hits. Now, you go to the third round, you have not hit in the third round since Fred Warner. That was 2018, bro. That's been a while, and you've had a lot of third-round picks. Fourth round, we were going to say Spencer Burford. That dude hadn't developed at all from his rookie year. Third, fourth round, we've not been great at. Fifth round, obviously, Hall of Fame status. So, 124. Who's my 124 player? Da'Drion Taylor Dibison, safety out of Texas Tech, fun player. Doesn't believe in space. But FUD player. And so I'm just going to go down from there, down through 135. Jalen McMillan, Washington wide receiver, fun. DeCameron Robinson, Mississippi State, could be a gold helmet guy, nickel, corner. He's a fun player. Maurice Luufu, Notre Dame, linebacker, safety guy. Michael Hall Jr., I'm lower on him than anybody I know. Leonard Taylor III, Miami, defensive tackle. Center, Mason McCormick, guard, South Dakota State, fun player. Nickel, Nehemiah Pritchett. 132, Marshawn Lloyd, USC, running back. Blake Corum, 133. 134, nickel, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., Louisville. Now we're in my fifth round grades, even though we're at 134. Javon Baker, wide receiver, UCF, might be a gold helmet guy. Matt Gonclaves, 136. And so, like, those are my guys that match with where the 49ers are picking. The three picks and that range of players. Obviously, the board's going to be different. I'm just trying to accustom you with the type of players that are worthy, at least according to yours truly, of those numbered picks, those slots. 124, 132, 135. Ah, oh, it's going to be fun. Man, I can't wait to... We're so close, guys. We are so close. Matt, he says, getting some kicker talk. Do you have faith in our kicker? No, I don't. Not the consistency, but there's nothing you can do about it. You're keeping him. You cannot move Jake Moody. Second highest pick on a kicker in the last decade. Jake Moody's the kicker, period. And what makes it even worse is he's the least consistent kickoff guy that we maybe in the NFL, and we drafted him for touchbacks, and now they outlawed touchbacks. There's a reason why the 49ers voted against that new kickoff rule. We literally overpaid for a kicker to help us on this because Mitch can't, he ain't got the leg for it. But maybe now you move Mitch over. Mitch is way more consistent. He just couldn't kick touchbacks on the kickoff. So do I have faith in our kicker? Not really, but he's good. He's average. He's an average kicker with a strong leg. I mean, he broke the record for longest field goal in Super Bowl history. Got broken like a quarter later. But still, like, the upside for Jake Moody's there. He's just not consistent at all. What was the Jim Harbaugh quote? Death, taxes, and Jake Moody? Wrong. Kickers are head cases, man. They're head. It's not their fault. It's just the position. I mean, but you can't move on from it. You can't move on from it. So, yeah, you gotta stick with the kicker. You got to. Phil, hashtag CC from Seattle. Behind enemy lines, man. I love it. Tuna. I got a nickel quarterback. He's a late rounder, but he's fast. Chow Smith Wade. Yeah, Niners met with him. An official top 30 visit. He's my number 179 player. So that's a six-round pick. We are picking 176 currently. But yeah, Chow Smith Wade, I didn't like his tape too much, but the metrics fit. Wouldn't be shocked at all. Dave says, two more sleeps. I love it. You military people. I love y'all. I love it. Absolutely love it. So, you know, that's what I got. I'm so excited. I had so much more in this stinking thing that I wanted to talk about. And so let's jump out of draft talk quickly. I got some clips from Brock Purdy talking yesterday, which I thought was really, really cool. And, you know, we talk about, okay, where is this Niners team currently? It's the favorite to make it to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. They've got the best quarterback on the planet. They've won it 3 out of freaking 5 years. Blah, 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 blah. I get it. But if you need hope, if you need excitement, and maybe this is an excitement thing, Brock Purdy is going through his first offseason, guys. First ever. And the dude looks jacked. I mean, he's small, but you can tell he put on some weight. Now, last offseason, Brock Purdy was just rehabbing. Was he going to be on the PUP? Is he even going to be able to play? How many games is he going to miss? You remember that crap? We were talking about Sam Darnold this time last year. Ugh. Ugh. Just threw up a little bit. Ugh. Imagine being a Minnesota Vikings fan right now. Mm-mm-mm. No. We're talking about Sam Darnold this time last year. Darnold? Sam Darnold. Anyway, the year before that, He was Mr. Irrelevant, going on tours for Mr. Irrelevant, trips and all that stuff, getting no snaps compared to this year. Listen to Brock Purdy, the difference.
Yeah, I mean, just going back and watching the games and sort of seeing the themes of what pop up, and then when I go out in the field and, you know, like hammer away at the little details and the fundamentals, just with footwork and timing, my eyes, concepts, you know, all of it. There's a lot of stuff that I think I can clean up and get better at for sure. So, you know, coming back here, it's been great sitting down with the coaches and going over games and concepts, how I can continue to get better. And so, obviously, it's good that we have a lot of film to watch where, you know, my rookie year, you have 7 games or so where it's like, you know, these are the things that came up, but also you got to rehab and get your arm healthy. So now I can actually attack, you know, those things, you know, at practice and on the field, routes on air, all that kind of stuff. So I can sort of hone into trying to master my craft.
Oh, I love it. I just love it. I just love it. And I'm pretty excited, man, about Brock Purdy. Imagine if it's not the case. Imagine that's his worst season. Imagine he only improves. Kid's going to be 24 years old this year. That's it. Oh. Oh. Man, I'm excited. I'm so excited. The future's bright. It really, really is. And our core is there. We've got so many foundational pieces. If we could add a couple more, that would be huge. And that's what you need out of this draft. Oh, I'm so excited. I hope that you join us. We're going to be live days one and day two. We're going to start about 15 minutes before the clock starts. So on Thursday, day one, draft starts at 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll go live at 4:45. We'll be partying already down in Temecula at the Champion Sports Bar. Day two, it starts an hour earlier, right? So it starts 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the actual draft. We're going to start about 15 minutes before that, so 3:45 Pacific Standard Time. Head over to our YouTube page. Please support us. This is a free way. Go to YouTube, type in 49ers Rush. It'll pull up. Click on the channel. Click alert, alert. Like on those two videos. Build it up for us. Please. It's a huge help. Y'all are the best. Oh, we're so close. I get to fly to freaking LA to host a draft party with the best people on the planet, whether virtual or not, or in person. We're giving away so much stuff. We got trivia games set up for online and in person. It's going to be a blast, man. Oh, I'm so excited. This is fun. Thank you guys for allowing me this opportunity. You are the absolute best. Whew, close. So close. Stay strong, faithful.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.